our practice in, when it comes to like a newer song is to sing the song several weeks. So we're going to sing that last song over the next 3 weeks or 2 weeks, additional 2 weeks. It's a wonderful song. It's been out a while, and it just captures so much about our God, and it captures so much of what we've been talking about over the past several weeks. We've been looking at the names of God, and hopefully that's a song that helps us to think about the names of God that we have looked at. Again, I direct your attention to the blanket that's over there hanging on that cross over there that has many of the names that we have been looking at over the past several weeks. So that last song might not be as familiar with you or familiar to you, but I want us to sing just briefly a song that I think we're all familiar with. I won't even put the lyrics on the screen because it's so simple, but it captures, I think, maybe in a more simpler way what we just sang in that last song. So I just want to invite you to sing this with me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to. It's so simple, isn't it? Let's sing that again. Let's sing that again. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so And because he's so good, this is usually our response. We'll sing this to him. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so. And even when we make mistakes, and even when we don't show him our love, guess what? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. It's simple songs like that communicate, I think, powerful and great truths regarding our relationship with God. We're ever so grateful for our relationship with God. And I hope that everyone in the world recognizes the importance of good relationships. I find myself praying often for people, for me and for others to have better relationships, to have better marriages, for parents and children to have better relationships, for sisters and brothers, siblings to have better relationships, sisters and brothers in the church to have growing and good relationships. And above all, those desires for good relationships with one another, I pray that our relationship with God will just grow and deepen. That was the motivation behind designing this sermon series that we've been in for the past several weeks as we explore the names of God. This series has also been an excuse for me to learn more about you all and some of your names, like Cassie Walkins. I love my sister Cassie. Do you know what your name means, Cassie? Cassie's name means, and I love this one, it's something to live up to shine upon mankind. What a calling. Valerie Henthorne, I didn't see her today. I know Valerie was recovering from being ill. Valerie's name means a powerful and strong, and many of the names that I look through many of these names have different origins all over the world, but a lot of names just has this, it wants to communicate power and strength. Our young adult minister, Antoine Booker, you know what your name means? Antoine is a word that means worthy of praise. That's a name to live up to. but it's also a name, and you'll see this in the Old Testament, where you have folks who would have names that it wasn't a name like the name Antoine isn't so that you are. It's to remind others of who is worthy of praise. You'll see that in the Old Testament with names like Joel Boer. Joel Boer is a name. That's a name, has a Hebrew origin. That means Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. Joel was a prophet. He has a book named after him in the Old Testament, and that's what his name was to communicate. And his name was to accompany his message. He preached a message as a prophet regarding the day of the Lord, and part of Joel's message was contained in his name, as there was a spoken and an unspoken refrain that Yahweh, Jehovah, is God. Names mean a lot. So let's jump right into it. This is the final sermon of this series. We have studied these names of God for the past 6 weeks, and we've encountered the personality and character of God by looking at the various names ascribed to him in Scripture. The goal today is to explore the name that Scripture declares is the name above all names. The book of Acts, we're going to be in for a launch. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse number 5. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse number 5. It says, "The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas and the high priest Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, 'By what power or by what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that the builder that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved.'" I am sure Peter said that way better than I did. But in the worship life of the church, you are likely to hear many of the names of God that we considered during this series. We might not use the original languages of Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek, but you're likely in our worship settings or in the life of our life with God. You'll hear us. You may not hear Elohim, the Hebrew, but you might hear Creator, especially during this time. I don't know if you're just taking note of the beauty of the changing colors of the leaves. And for me, when I see these these deep reds and these wonderful bright orange and yellow leaves, I can't help but think about the Creator, Elohim. You may not hear Adonai or Yahweh, but you might hear Lord or Jehovah. You are likely to hear God referred to as Father, probably not Abba. That's what we looked at last week. There is a name connected to God that you will most likely hear every, when you come to worship here, you will hear this name every Sunday during our worship time. You most definitely will hear the name Jesus. There are a multitude of reasons that you will hear the name Jesus. Here are a few. For one, Jesus is the Son of God and is the subject of our spiritual confession. Those of you who claim to be a Christian, a follower, a disciple, at some point you made a confession that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God. And in our daily living, we are doing things. We are making choices. We are saying things. We are participating in activities that represent that confession that we made regarding the name of Jesus. You're going to hear Jesus a lot because Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and He holds the most important place in our lives. Jesus is the founder of this body, this church, this community. And His name is all over it. Jesus is the subject of many of our songs. It's particularly difficult to plan a time of worship and not sing at least one song that has the name or refers to the life or refers to the message of Jesus. I wonder, though, if we fully grasp the ginormous implications of the name Jesus. Let's spend a few moments discovering why the name of Jesus is so prevalent in our spiritual experience. The first place to start is back in the Hebrew Bible. Here it gets a little confusing, and I don't want us want this to get lost in translation. But Jesus is the English rendering of a Greek word, Iesus. Iesus is Greek, but that is the Greek rendering of the Hebrew word Yeshua. Now, some of you may be familiar with Yeshua, but you are most definitely familiar with Joshua. That's where Joshua comes from. Yeshua. We have a Joshua Berry that's a member of this church, and that word in Hebrew means salvation. Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, Jesus means salvation. Some others will even translate Yeshua as Jehovah saves or Yahweh saves. Salvation is a huge theme in the Hebrew Bible as the Lord sets forth his desire to rescue and save humankind from themselves and ultimate destruction. God's salvation would become a rich part of the worship life of Israel. God's salvation was the pinnacle of one's experience with God. After God rescued Israel out of Egypt. They escape from Egypt captivity, Egyptian slavery. They get to the Red Sea and God parts the Red Sea and they travel through the Red Sea on dry land and then the waters come back and cover the Egyptians who were following them. And on the other side, they had a good time. They spent some time there worshiping and singing and dancing. And in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, we read a part of that song that they sang. It has come to be known as the Song of Moses. Exodus chapter 15. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider He has thrown into sea. The Lord is my strength and my might. And read this with me. He has become my salvation. He has become my Yeshua. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. With salvation comes a context of deliverance. That is, one finds themselves in the throes of suffering or in a conflict or in a struggle. And out of the pain of suffering, the crisis of conflict or the strains of struggle, Jehovah delivers. Jehovah delivered Israel out of the suffering of slavery in the sweltering heat of Egypt. Jehovah delivered David from his enemies who pursued him with intentions to prolong conflict. When David was delivered, he spoke of his deliverance, his salvation in a song. 2 Samuel chapter 22, David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my Yeshua, my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." And David would go on throughout his life, penning and composing song after song about salvation. Psalm chapter 27, the 27th Psalm, verse number 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 62. "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my Yeshua, my fortress. I shall never be shaken." The prophet Isaiah was used by God to proclaim a rich and deep, powerful proclamation regarding the Lord's judgment on a rebellious people. But additionally, Isaiah would prophesy a message of hope as it is proclaimed in that glorious, that prophecy. He would proclaim this glorious message of God's salvation. When you read Isaiah, you see salvation on page after page after page. Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 1. "You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. Surely God is what? My Yeshua, my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation." Isaiah chapter 52, starting at verse number 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices together. They sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord. Zion, break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth," say this with me, church, "shall see the salvation of our God." Make no mistake about it. Salvation is the intention of God, and all nations will see Yeshua. They will see the Joshua of God. That is the message that is so poignant in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. Salvation of God is that which is in passionate pursuit of all humans from every country, every nation, every color, every race, all people. God is in pursuit of all people to grant them salvation. The salvation of God is the reason that God is all-powerful, Elohim, and a provider, Jehovah Jireh, and all-sufficient and almighty, El Shaddai, and the God of armies, Jehovah Shabaoth, and Abba, our Father. God is who he will be, Yahweh, because at the end of the day, God wants to save us. us. He wants us all to be saved, and we want to be saved. We want to be delivered. And how fitting. Our need to be saved comes as we deal with a life full of things to be saved from. There is sin and our human propensity to just do the wrong thing. That's just kind of how we're wired. We're just wired to just do the wrong thing. And we need to be saved from that sin. But that's just where it starts, because there is sickness that we want to be delivered from. There is death. There is a heartache that we want to be delivered from. There is depression. There are marriage problems. There are money problems. There are issues with the schools and issues with the government. There are children being shot and killed every day. I can't stand listening to the local news. It starts off every night with there is another shooting of a young kid. There are religious institutions who are defrauding people and misleading people and causing people more hurt than the healing that they promise. There are church people acting like non-church people. Guess what, church? We need Yeshua. We need the salvation of God. We need Jesus. And a long, long time ago, in the fullness of time, at just the right time, God enacted his most magnificent act to date. God would do this by using a young woman by the name of Mary, a man by the name of Joseph. The angel of the Lord appeared to both. And in a dream, the messenger of the Lord revealed this to Joseph, stating that a new world order was about to be established. This messenger said to Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him," say this with me, church, "for he will save his people from their sins." Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus. And what will he do? Save. Jesus equals salvation. Jesus was born and he grew to be a young man. And as a young man, he traveled his corner of the earth teaching and preaching about God's kingdom. He would often give hints to his identity, and through his powerful acts, he would often indicate that he was more than just any man. In fact, it would be revealed that he was God in flesh. Jesus was fully human. He was fully divine. And when we read the story of Jesus, we see that in his name, sin were forgiven, and in his name the sick they were made well, and in his name the dead were raised to life, and in his name he promised salvation. One gospel writer wrote an entire collection about his life and made this comment about that writing, the Gospel of John. At the end of the Gospel of John, John writes this: "Now Jesus, he did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life," where? "In his name." Which brings us to the book of Acts. The church has been established. His apostles, Jesus' apostles, who were his missionaries, his messengers, they're going all over the place. They're preaching Jesus. This is at the direction of Jesus, who told them. He said, "Thus it is written," this is Jesus talking to his apostles at the end of Luke. He says, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed," where? In his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And then the writer of the Gospel of John, along with 11 others, took that directive. They took it seriously. They traveled all over the area, all over the surrounding area of Jerusalem, Judea, and they preached the name of Jesus. And they were successful. Many people believed the message, and they turned their lives to Jesus. They confessed the name of Jesus. They confessed their sins. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. And there were folks who didn't like it. They saw this preaching as a threat to their social way of life and their religious way of life. And intending to put a stop to it, they sought out John and his preaching partner, Peter, to stop all the operations, to stop them from preaching the name of Jesus. This happened after they healed a lame man, and they arrested them. In fact, it wasn't just that they healed the man. It was the way that they did it. When speaking to the lame man, Peter said this, I have no silver, no gold. The lame man was begging for money. And Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Well, they were arrested, and while in custody, the ruling body said point blank. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, this is Acts chapter 4, verse 7, they made them stand in their midst. They said, by what power, by what name did you do this? And it was in response to that question that Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, began to preach the name of Jesus. And Peter declared that it was by the name of Jesus that that crippled man walked and was healed. He continued his defense and concluded with a bold statement that lives in our memory and is why we do what we do in the name of Jesus. Because there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. What is that name? Yeshua. Jesus. Jesus. That is the name that is at the center of our relationship with God. That is the name that we pray our prayers in. That is the name that we call on in our salvation. That is the name that we call to for healing. That is the name that has the power over sickness. That is the name that has the power over death. That is the name that has the power over nature. That is the name that has the power over death. That is the name that brings forth power for us. That is the name that sanctifies our worship experience. We worship in the name of Jesus. We sing in the name of Jesus. We commune with one another in the name of Jesus. That is the name that saturates our ministry experience. We serve in the name of Jesus. We operate in the name of Jesus. We preach in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the name that is above all names. Years ago, Bill and Gloria Gaither, prolific gospel music writers, we sing many of their songs, Because He Lives. I can face tomorrow. That's Bill and Gloria Gaither. I don't know about you all. I'm a huge Gaither vocal band, fan. They have voices that are just angelic. I never heard an angel sing, but if I did, it'd probably sound like that, right? I love the Gaither vocal, and I love Bill and Gloria Gaither and the music that they have written for us and that we enjoy. Even to this day, they're in their 80s, and they're still traveling the country singing some of these wonderful and beautiful songs. It was about the early 70s where they penned a really beautiful and simple song, and it was written at the intersection of life for them. It was they had small kids and they had aging parents, and one of their parents died. And they began to reflect on that intersection and reflect on that. They began to reflect that as they were raising young kids, that the name of Jesus was something that they were trying to get their kids to embrace at this very young age. And so they would teach them songs about Jesus, and they would teach them scriptures about Jesus. They wanted them to really know Jesus. But as their parents were dying, they also were calling on the name of Jesus because they were wanting for Jesus to be the receiver of their dying parents. And so they penned this simple song that I want us to just listen to. And I want us to reflect on the power of its meaning.
Jesus, 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 there's just something
There's just something about that name. It's not to dismiss all the other names that we have in our experience in life. I mean, there's names that just does something on a nice hot day when it's just hot. You know, you just can't get cool. You know what name I love to hear? Ice cream. An okay name. There's just something about the name Jesus. As we close out this series, it is the invitation for us to embrace that name and to live into that name that is above all names. Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name. As we prepare to sing this invitation song, may it be a song that through its words communicate this deep desire that we have, that whatever season of life that we're in, whatever we're going, that we can be saturated by the name of Jesus and the salvation that it brings and the deliverance that it promises. That whether we are fresh in life or maybe failing in the physical, we can still call on the name of Jesus, because there's just something about that name that communicates to us God's ultimate desire. Save us. In just a second, as we stand and sing this song, if the church can be particularly helpful to you in your pursuit of life in the name of Jesus, and you want to let us know how we can pray for you for that, this is a moment for you. It's a moment for you to say, I've tried other names, I've tried other systems, I've tried other... I want to try Jesus and only Jesus, because there is just something about that name. If today is the day that you want to do as so many millions of people, billions of people have done since Jesus walked on this earth, you want to call on the name of Jesus to save you. You want to confess Jesus to be the name above all names. And you want to identify with the name of Jesus in this beautiful event called baptism. It's a beautiful moment where you, in the name of Jesus, Jesus' life, you just intersect. And you profess through that act to live as Jesus wants you to live for the remainder of your life, giving you the wonderful benefit and blessing of calling on the name of Jesus in life, in sickness, in death, in triumphs, in failures. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Let's stand, let's sing this song. There's a way we can be helpful to you. Come as we sing this song.